Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Chapter number 1, amen, verse 25, amen, through 38. Might be of a familiar text, but I'm going to share 7 things that are of importance if we're going to understand, amen, that our deliverer is here. It is our time of deliverance, and our deliverer is here. Give me a few moments. If you don't mind, would you read it for me? Amen. Luke chapter number 1, verse 25 through 38.
Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.
Yes.
Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her also, who was barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And that is so important if we're going to go into deliverance, if we're going to understand that our deliverer is here. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her in that moment. A correlating scripture would be Exodus chapter number 3, verse 7 and 9. Amen. Exodus 3. 7 and 9. It says, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard the cry of the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver thee out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring thee out of the land into a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. For a few moments, I'm going to talk about our deliverer is here. Do me a favor. Somebody just echo that in the atmosphere, that our deliverer is here.
Our deliverer is here.
Father, thank you for these next few moments of preaching. Give me articulation of speech. Declare truths in my heart that I may have, oh God, typed out or may not have typed out. Put them in my heart that I would then have the ability to put them in my mouth. God, let me speak now as an oracle of God, declaring your truth, declaring your power, declaring your coming. Father, let me now speak, oh God, that, oh God, ignorance would be destroyed and enlightenment would come. But most important, that we would not be hearers, but we would be doers of the word of the Lord. God, thank you for the very hour that you graced us to live in. Father, there is, oh God, sin abounding, but you said grace would therefore much more abound. So thank you for this hour, God. Thank you for, oh God, understanding the humility to live, oh God, the graceful life. Now speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak in this environment. And now, Lord, let us leave another way. Let us leave in power that we would now know our deliverer is here. We thank you. We glorify your name. And this is our prayer. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Somebody go ahead and say it with me one more time. Our deliverer is here. Our deliverer is here. There are things in the biblical text that we must examine carefully and wisely. Let me say that again. Amen. I pray that you can hear me today. There are things in the biblical text that we need to carefully examine, and we need to examine, amen, wisely. There are some things in the biblical text that not only must we examine, but we must take time to re-examine them over and over and over again. I need to let every Christian under the sound of my voice know, never stop being a lifelong learner concerning the biblical text. Never stop being a learner of the biblical text. Absolutely, there are some subjects that you take 4 years, Chris, and you graduate and you go ahead and get a job. But as it relates to the biblical text, there is no graduation from learning. This is a living book. He can show you something today that you read 100 times that you did not understand it, like he will make it plain and simple today. So I encourage you, amen, examine it. Please trust me, I'm going somewhere, so just give me a few moments. And one person I was preaching in Greensboro, North Carolina, they said, I love your preaching, but you just start too slow. And if you would start a little fast and get to your point, your preaching would be real good. I said, well, thank you. Amen. I took it as a word of advice, and every now and then I do start a little faster, but today I ain't starting fast. I'm going to take my time, all right? But there are some things in this biblical text, and I hope y'all can hear me, and I hope you're listening, that needs to be examined and examined and examined. So important, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there are some things going on in our world that if we don't examine, there is an evil, sinister plot to deconstruct, to create skepticism, and even to do a thing, and I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute, called post-structuralism. If you do not examine this text, there is an evil, sinister plan to deconstruct what we think this is. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. All right, there is an evil plan that is even not only trying to deconstruct what this means, but there's an also plan trying to get you to become skeptical with every thou shalt not and every you shall not and every you shall come out among. Every one of those thoughts that this biblical text put in our hearts, there is an evil skepticism saying, did God really mean that? And does it require all of and ain't that just a little bit too much? And if you don't examine the text, and if you don't re-examine it over and over and over again, before you know it, you will be doing what is right in your own eyes. Before you know it, you will now create your own law. And the very thing that you thought was wrong 2 years ago, now because you've allowed deconstruction and skepticism and post-structuralism. And that is really important for this younger generation. They don't even know, but they are heavily involved in post-structuralism. I'm going to talk about it. And I know these are philosophical terms that I need to explain. That's okay. I'm going to explain them. But you need to understand this, because this biblical text is being devalued and our now old values are being placed real high. And before you know it, we're not going to even have a problem with the alphabet people. Because we have not examined the biblical text. Yeah, that's what I said. If we're not careful, we're not going to have a problem with the alphabet people. And we're going to start adding additional letters to okay one more thing that we decided to do. So come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you need to carefully examine the biblical text. There is an evil, sinister plan that's trying to deconstruct our deliverer. There is a growing skepticism that really don't believe that Jesus is all of that. there is a post-structuralism going on in our community that if we're not careful, we won't even know that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. What is post-structuralism? Post-structuralism, just stay with me. I'm going to get out of that vein in a few minutes, all right? Post-structuralism is a changing of the common language that once carried collective meaning. What is post-structuralism? I'm glad you asked. It is the changing of common language that once carried collective meaning. At the core of post-structuralism is a destabilizing of the standard language, all right? It is a changing of the standard language that now this move causes what has been accepted as knowledge and belief now have no consistency or common easily understanding among the masses of people. So what post-structuralism does, it changes words like gay that it don't mean what it used to mean. It changes word by like queer that it don't mean what it used to be. And if we're not careful, we think people are saying hallelujah and glory, and they ain't even talking about to the God that is most high. Be careful of this three-pronged thing, because if we're not careful, we gonna miss that our deliverer is here. If there is a three-pronged effort going on to take away the value of the text, and what is the solution? Here it is. It's not difficult. We somewhere have to put our beliefs into practice. We can no longer say Jesus is our deliverer and then don't experience deliverance. Y'all gonna stay with me for a few moments. I'm gonna say that again. We can no longer declare Jesus as our deliverer but then never experience deliverance. If you was in theological circles, they say you got to put your orthodoxy with your orthopraxy. At some point, if he's our deliverer, then I got to declare my deliverance. If I believe that he's my healer, at some point, I got to receive my healing. If he's my way maker, at somewhere I need to see a way made. Lest the world look at us and say they a lot of hot air, but they ain't about no doing. And I've discovered how you make your beliefs put into practice. And this is where I started. You got to keep re-examining the text. You got to keep re-examining the text. Is that really what Paul meant? Is that really what Revelations was talking about? Is that really what the law was talking about? Don't get offended by what I say next. If we're not careful, we're more interested in the ravens than we are in the text. If we're not careful, we really want to get out of here so we can get to Walmart. Because we don't want somebody to get the gift that we want to give for our babies. Y'all ain't going to say nothing, but I'm going to preach anyway. If we're not careful, we trying to get to something that has replaced the text. And now the text has no value. But we told everybody we was a Christian, a follower of the way, but we don't follow the way. And if we're not careful, we're going to be like the Israelites that missed their time of visitation. If we're not careful, we're going to be a lot of hot air, but not a lot of doing. If we're not careful, Jesus is going to have come, and we ain't saved yet. So re-examine the text. We need days and times that we spend it with the text. We need days and times that we spend it with the text. Y'all, please look at me. Talk back to me. Please say something, because I know I'm preaching way better than you saying amen. If we're not careful, here is what Paul said. We will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Exodus said he was coming. Luke tells us he's here. And we're now all the way in. Nearby at the edge of grace, and we're not living like our deliverer is here. And God's trying to change all of that. Somebody talk to your neighbor and say, God's trying to change all of that. God's trying to make it that we live as if our deliverer is here. God, that was a good place to say amen. God's trying to make it that we live as our deliverer is here. But the only way you're going to do that is you got to keep examining the text. Every now and then, oh God, every now and then you got to read again that you're ahead only and you're not beneath. Every now and then you got to read again that by his stripes I am healed. Because every now and then there is a diagnosis that makes it look like I'm not healed. That's why I told you last week, already but not yet. If you're not careful, it'll look like everything around you is falling apart because of collateral damage. And if you don't read the text, you might believe a report that is not the Lord's report. Re-examine the text. His text says, I'm healed. His text says, I'm whole. His text says, I'm above only and I'm never beneath. His text says, I've been seated together in heavenly places. Love what my uncle preached probably about 10 years ago. Don't give up your seat. The only way we give up our seat is forgetting that we've been seated together in heavenly places. If we've been seated together, that means that we should be above something. Oh, God. Oftentimes as Christians, I don't know if we understand this, we're living beneath our privileges. And every now and then, we need to be reminded, you seated higher than that, and I feel my helper now. Every now and then, we need to be reminded, we seated and higher than that. It don't make a difference what we have and what we don't have. Everything that makes a difference is what we are. I need to release all of us from being Americans and capitalists. I'm going to say that again. I need to release all, because somehow we bought into the American dream and we bought into the capitalist thought. So we're judging, amen, where we seated by things that won't matter 10 years from now. Let me go ahead and make it better. 4 years from now, that car won't even make a difference. And you're judging right now by what you're driving. And 4 years from now, it won't even run. And you're basing on where you're seated by what you're driving. And that has absolutely nothing to do with it. You want to know what really determines where you're seated? Is how demons move when you talk back. Good God Almighty. How you like preaching? Because I'm going to help you here. When a demon come up and get in one of your children, the car won't help you then. When the devil step up in your house and now some sickness is on you, I don't care what kind of clothes you wear, them clothes won't help you then. It's understanding the power of Jesus' name. And that's what determines, amen, where you're seated. Come on, somebody go ahead and declare, I'm seated in heavenly places. Oh, God. Come on, say it real loud, and I will not give up my seat. And so in order for us to understand this, and I got 7 points and I'm going to leave this alone, we've got to re-examine the text. And that's really in my spirit today. We got to start re-examining the text, because I'm going to say this again, and you're going to hear about it in a soon-to-be-released book, amen, and I'm going to talk about that three-pronged enemy called, amen, deconstruction, and called, amen, skepticism, and called postrictionism, because it's doing a number on the believers. Y'all didn't hear what I said. It's doing a number on the believers. I got to now keep asking, do believers believe? Y'all ain't saying nothing. I got to now ask, do believers believe? Y'all ain't going to say nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching anyway. Do believers still believe that it's important to come to church? Y'all ain't going to say nothing, but I'm going to preach in here. Do believers still believe it's important to fast? Do believers believe it's important to pray? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching. Because if you're not careful, everything he told us to do, we've now intellectualized why we don't have to do it. And now we're justifying that. I ain't got to do that. Just because some old retarded YouTuber told you, you ain't got to go to church. Now you ain't thinking you got to go to church. Well, my temple is right here. Well, he also said, don't forsake the assembly yourselves together. That's what he said also. And if you're not careful, I'm going to say this again. And I promise y'all going to hear about it. Amen. Deconstruction. And skepticism and post-structuralism, because now the language, oh God, I didn't want to go like that. The language got us somewhere that don't nobody know us but us. And it's intentional. It's intentional. It's a plan. It's trying to separate us. Here go Romans 8. It's trying to separate us from the love of God. I don't know about y'all. I'm determined with two things, that I'm going to heaven. Somebody say amen right there. I'm determined that I'm going to heaven, and I'm determined that I'm going to love God with all of my heart. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Hey, yo, brother Carl, I wish you'd come help me this morning. I'm determined two things. I might not have the best car. I might not never live in a big mansion. I might not have it like that, swinging like that. But one thing is going to be sure. I'm going to love God with all of my heart. And when this life is over, I'm going to heaven. So Paul said, I consider all things as dung that I may win Christ. Be careful. Careful, because if you're not careful, the text won't mean anything anymore because of deconstruction, because of skepticism, and because of post-structuralism. You're going to hear about that in a book, and I'm going to be going all the way to the bank saying thank you. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying. Them are my thoughts, amen, taken from my thesis defense. So I ain't robbing nobody's word. They're my words. Y'all ain't saying nothing. All right, 3-7 things, and I got to lead us alone. Some things I'm going to lead us alone. Number one, if our deliverer is already here, there are 7 things that we need to understand, and it's right in Luke chapter number 1. All right, it's Luke chapter number 1. And Holden, go ahead and get ready to doxology me. I can tell everybody Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. All right, number one is first verse number 25. All right, if the deliverer is here, when he shows up, we have to understand that deliverance is available for in any and everything that has manifested among us. We have no special categories that God can't deliver. Your case is not special. I don't care what's been in your family for 55 years. When the deliverer show up, deliverance is available. I think, y'all, sometimes we think we are in categories because what we were born into. What we had or what we didn't have, we think our situation has somehow gained the ability to lock the deliverer out. Well, I came to let you know, number one, when the deliverer shows up, deliverance is available from any and everything that is manifesting among us. Somebody ought to say it, hallelujah, right there. Deliverance is available, any and everything. I don't care if you was born in the Joneses or in the Richardsons or in the Smiths. Whatever the case, deliverance is available. I don't care if you was born with a silver spoon in your mouth or you was born on the other side of the track, deliverance is available. Y'all ain't saying that. I don't care what you were born with, a sickness that runs throughout the women in your family, deliverance is available. Deliverance is available. Put your hand on your chest and talk to yourself with that one. Say, deliverance is available. Number one, deliverance is available. Amen. In the text, the woman is locked up, and here comes the angel busting into a situation. I don't know how y'all guys show up, but I love it when he busts into the situation. Okay. Has anybody had God ever bust up into something that you didn't know if he were coming or not? Okay, y'all need to testify to the other ones, because the other ones don't know what I'm talking about. Every now and then, we didn't know how we were going to pay the bill, and God showed up. Every now and then, they said it would be over by now, and God showed up. Every now and then, we was on the way to the schoolhouse to do something we had no business, but God met us before we got there. There is nothing that shuts out God. I got to get through this, y'all, because I got to get number two. Number two, nothing has restricted him from entering the places where we've been bound. And if we was honest, we would tell our neighbor that I've been in some situations that I've been bound. And here comes God. Nothing restricts him, and we need to understand that if the deliverance here, ain't nothing restricting him. God has showed up, and he's going to do what he wants. He's going to do how he want to do it, and ain't nothing going to stop him. This is a good time to allow the enemy's voice to be quieted. Oh God. If you look at the end, they go to verses for where I'm getting my thoughts, so you'll know where I'm getting them from. All right, number three. Now that we know he's here, we got to allow him to trance our minds and our every thought. Mary says, how am I going to get pregnant and I ain't never been with a man? That's a good question. I wouldn't deem her stupid, ignorant, unlearned. She talking all the way back to the history of human beings. There was a man and there was a woman. And now you talking about I'm getting pregnant and I ain't been with no man? How are these things going to be? Y'all, please come a little closer. Every now and then, God says something that the next thing that has to do, he has to transform our minds. Because what he's saying don't make sense to me. I don't know how. Oh, come on. I wish we were honest. I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know how he's going to bring us out. I know what us riches has been bound with, and you saying it's our time of deliverance. I don't know how you do that, God. If we were honest, we would acknowledge there are some things that God says is too hard to us. I'm talking about if we were honest. Every now and then, God said, go there, do that. And as soon as he said, go there and do that, that's too hard. How are we going to do that? Oh, come on, people of God. God, how are we going to do that? Every now and then, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the four-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.